Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
A seeker, an angel child, the mother and living soul. The ten are drawn together to keep their world whole. A family saved from horseman's wrath, the harbinger slain, and with final breath, his death knell on hallowed earth fell, and at its sound, a shadow was unchained.
Hi, I'm Matt, the host of Lost Library and your game master here on Grayscale. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Hoadley, and you can find all of my projects at fifthdraw.com.
Hi, I'm Christina, and I'm playing Ashley Adirio. You can find me on Twitter at CWoodsArt, or on Tumblr and Instagram at ChristinaWoodsArt.
Hey, I'm Joe. I play on Bainbridge. You can find me on Twitter at TheJoeHadfield. I also do a podcast with Travis called WTF Anime.
I'm Melissa Wilkinson. I play Lori, and you can find me on Twitter at WilkyWit, WILKYWIT.
Hello. My name is Raphael Johns. I play Hallam Cardoso on the Lost Library podcast, and you can find me at Eldritch Roth on Twitter.com.
So, y'all have been driving for a little bit. Any last vestiges of sunset are gone, and y'all have left the city proper and are heading out towards the mountains, kind of off to the east. So, Grizz has been giving y'all directions, kind of pointing y'all to things, and eventually y'all wind up off the main road, onto a dirt road, and eventually you'll wind up in front of like a big wood, like a big log cabin, really is what it is.
I wanted to interrupt briefly before we actually made it there.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just need to go. Helen would be like, actually, before we go there, I need to make a stop back at my place for something in particular.
All right.
I just don't think Helen would have brought his, like, weapons to school.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I need weapons, so.
So, what are you getting from inside your house?
Run in to go grab his blessed knife. And also his magical dagger.
Alrighty.
I don't know. I feel like he would definitely have Wolfsbane somewhere in his house. Since he's prepared, generally. But I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's totally fine. You could have that.
Yeah, so he'll grab some Wolfsbane and stuff it in there real quick.
Okay.
And then he'll say hi to his animals. Hi, Oakley. Hi, Natural Selection. How are you doing? And he'll just sort of like wish them goodbye and be like, y'all be safe, and then he'll leave.
Alright, so Helen climbs back into the truck. Grizz just kind of like sniffs the air and like curls his nose and scoots away from the window a little bit, and then shouts directions to Lori, and y'all wind up going down some roads, leave town, and eventually after 20-30 minutes of driving, y'all pull up in front of a log cabin out in the woods. It's kind of up on a hill a little bit, and y'all can see the lights of the city laid out below y'all. And there's smoke coming from the chimneys. There's lights on. It just feels kind of warm and comforting, which is odd because Grizz looks distinctly uncomfortable with all this.
Grizz, not to be silly about this, but your hackles are up. What's going on?
This is like a council meeting. It's boring, and usually they only call them when people get in trouble. And, you know, I don't want to be in trouble.
Yeah, I don't think any of us want to be in trouble.
Oh, I don't know. Y'all are hunters. Aren't y'all always in trouble?
I would like to voice a protest. I'm not technically a hunter, just so we're clear.
I mean, the Greenfriars, like, called you up for this. That kind of makes you a hunter.
The monks called in a favor.
Oh, okay. He just kind of shrugs. Says, I'm... All right. Whatever you say, sir.
I feel very dumb for not asking this earlier. But it's a full moon tonight, right?
Nope.
Oh.
Good.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Hallelujah.
I'm pretty sure we'll be fine if all we have to do is mediate something between two arguing parties. That sounds like the easiest possible thing I could be dragged into. So.
Gris just goes, yeah, two parties would be easy. And he just, like, on that note, like, he just walks up and pushes open both doors to the log cabin. And inside are probably, like, 50 people.
Okay.
Hallam turns to Owen and family affair, then. Great.
Yeah, been a while since I had to deal with any of that shit.
Can I pull Owen aside for a second before we go in?
Okay.
Mr. Bainbridge, this is not the first time that I've tried to do a, like, God, this is not the first time that I've tried to do a hunt, but, like, if this is a diplomatic thing, should we be bringing weapons in? Like, I don't...
Absolutely not.
I don't want to be caught in a bad situation without something to help protect myself and others, but I don't want to walk into a powder keg with, I don't know, a road flare.
Okay. What weapons do you have on you?
I've got some pepper spray and a pocket knife. And I've got my weapon, but I don't think that's anything special against werewolves, so...
If I didn't have, like, a weird kind of situation in a parking lot, I would tell you that the trouble is most likely not coming from the werewolves themselves. But something did happen, and just know that the best weapon we have against anything going wrong is not fucking up.
Okay, that's a lot of pressure, but good to know.
I don't know how this is going to go exactly, but not to put you down or anything, but you're a kid. They're probably not going to call on you for wisdom. Unless they're very weird. In which case, just stay calm, speak your mind, but also be mindful that what you do say may carry a lot of weight if we're called in by a council.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you, Mr. Bainbridge.
It's all right.
Does Ashley walk away from that conversation looking, like, confident at all?
maybe a modicum more confident.
Okay.
Hey, Matt?
Yes?
I think Lori wants to tug on Grizz's sleeve. I think Lori wants to tug on Grizz's sleeve and ask, who's the hostess here? Host?
It's May. I think the Russells are the head tribe this year, this month. And he just, like, points to the open door to the far end of the hall. And there's a woman just kind of, like, lounging in a wicker chair, one of those big rattan wicker chairs that have the massive back to it.
A Morticia Adams chair?
Kinda, yeah.
Okay.
And there's a woman just, like, lounging in it, sipping on a can of PBR. And he just points at her and says, that's her. It's Miss November. She's in charge this month. She's cool. Don't get her mad, but she's cool. She taught me to hunt deer.
Nice. Venison's good. Good. I know this doesn't work the way, like, a normal, like, party works. Do you introduce yourself to the hostess? Was I supposed to bring a gift?
This isn't a party. This is a council meeting. They only happen when bad stuff is happening.
So I don't shake hands and do pleasantries. Do I just sit quietly in the corner?
If y'all are here, it's because someone asked the Greenfriars to send mediators. So I've never seen that, but I guess maybe they'll introduce y'all, have y'all introduce yourself. I don't know.
Okay, so hands at the ready for shaking, but you don't know when.
He just shrugs.
Okay.
All right, what are y'all going to do? The door is open. People are noticing that the door is open.
Well, I imagine that... Laura, you're probably already in the building, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I just pulled Owen aside before we went in, so...
Yeah, Hallam will go immediately after Lori. He's sort of trying to case the area out also. He's trying to figure out, like, what's going on.
Okay.
Can we make... Well, as we go in, can I make a read a situation roll?
Read a bad situation? You absolutely can.
I don't want to say that it's a bad situation yet, but I would like to try and read the room because Ashley is nervous.
Any situation that hunters are involved in is probably a bad one. Any of y'all that want to can read a bad situation.
Okay. I got a 7.
Okay, you're going to be able to ask one question off the list. Melissa, do you add anything to that?
You know me, 0 sharp.
Okay, you get to mark experience. Joe, do you add anything to your 10?
Yeah, your boy's on 11.
All right, you get to ask 3 questions from the list?
Uh-huh.
11? I got a 13.
Oh, shit!
You get to ask 3 questions on the list as well. So, let's start with Ashley.
There's no good, like... Can I make up a question? Because I'm not sure how it would fall into one of the other ones.
Let me... see.
Like, you can classify it however you want. I'm just not seeing the phrasing that I would like to ask here.
Since it's still a sharp roll, y'all can use this list as well for investigative mystery, if that would be better.
I just want to ask, like, I'd like to try and, like, read the room and see, like, which groups are opposed to each other or opposed to us.
That's not immediately obvious. You can tell there are kind of just like 4 groups present. There's a family clustered up near the front around November, who you can pretty well guess is probably the Russell family, mm-hmm. or whatever branches are there of that. Grizz has wandered off and is now over with his family, to presumably the Lord family or whatever branches are over there. You do notice Jessica is standing in a group over on the opposite side of the building from Grizz's family, and presumably that's a family she's involved in. And then kind of off to one side, kind of in the back, is another group that you don't notice anyone interesting in, but Owen notices over there, the guy who kind of got all up in your face in the parking lot.
Excellent.
Does that help Ashley's question, Christina?
Are any of them, like, looking, what are their expressions as they look at us as we try and, as we walk into the wolf's den?
Nothing really, like, no one that you notice seems hostile. Like, everyone's just kind of like, oh, I guess these are the mediators. It's that kind of expression. Just like, okay. All right.
Okay, that's fair.
All right, let's jump over then to Owen. What questions you got, Owen?
So, first one is, are there any dangers we haven't noticed?
That's
Ooh, this is juicy.
That's certainly an interesting... Okay. So the fourth family that's kind of off in its own little corner is definitely, like, not engaging with the rest of the group. You notice a young woman come up and stand by the guy who harassed you in the parking lot. And you notice they both are wearing dog collars. And a couple other people in their group are, but no one else in this room is. They're also not like everyone else, like I said, is just kind of looking at y'all going like, oh, these must be the mediators, whatever. We'll deal with them, get them out of our house. It's fine. These guys are just kind of like, they've got the look of like a junkyard dog when someone's like right up on the fence looking in at the junkyard. It's kind of that like, you are about 2 seconds from being bit, son.
Yeah.
Okay. What other questions you got? And I will remind you all, each person is allowed to ask these questions again because you might get different information based on what you know. So, all right, Joe, what is Owen's second question?
I'm going to take a very different pass at one of the questions on Read a Bad Situation.
Okay.
What's my best way in, and that's to getting good with a family that seems important?
Ooh, okay. That's very interesting. Y'all are here at the request of presumably November. So going up and talking, like introducing yourself, being like fulfilling the professional role required is probably the best way in for you.
Excellent.
All right. What is Owen's third question?
If this goes to shit, what's the best exit?
Ooh.
What's the best way out?
Well, no one has cut off kind of the exit back to Lori's truck. Like, no one's trying to, like, circle in on you.
Okay.
So that seems to be your best way out of things, just if you have to run. All right. So we're going to go over to Helam. Remember, you are allowed to ask the same questions if you need to. You might get different answers based on what Helam knows. So, what are your questions?
The first one is going to be, what's most vulnerable to me?
Ooh. So, y'all walk in, and you're looking around, kind of taking stock, and you recognize someone. You recognize two someones, actually, as you're kind of panning around.
Please don't be my sister's ex-boyfriend. Please don't be my sister's ex-boyfriend. Don't do.
I mean, it wasn't gonna be, but now it is.
Now it has to be.
It absolutely is. You notice over on one side of the room, the opposite side of the room from where Grizz went, you notice a redheaded young man who's kind of talking in like a low, kind of fierce whisper to a young woman with long red hair. And he kind of looks up when y'all walk in and you kind of lock eyes with him and you recognize Jeremy Howlett, a guy who had dated your sister for a bit. And you notice someone else, someone who's kind of edging away from that group back to the group in the shadows. And it's someone who had for a while, like a couple years ago, had been like frequenting the psychic parlor side of the building and didn't seem to get that it was kind of a front, if not like, not inaccurate, but also kind of a front more than anything.
Yeah.
And she had been, like, actually asking, like, to have psychic readings done on a surprisingly regular basis. And you just kind of remember that it's that her name is Penny. But you don't remember anything else. And you don't remember her being this, like, goth? Is probably not the right word for it. Like, you notice she's got, like, a dog collar on, and she's got, like, kind of tattered jeans, and her hair, you don't remember her hair being jet black, and you kind of assume that it's a dye job that's not gone great. And you watch as you're kind of like, huh, that's weird. And she wanders over to the little group that's in their own little corner and sidles up next to a guy who's wearing a matching dog collar.
She's got the dog collar group. Okay, and those are the two that's most vulnerable to me. I'm also going to go with, are there any dangers we haven't noticed? And specifically considering what Grizz has brought up in the past, Helm's kind of checking around for signs of other non-werewolf people here who might be a threat.
Okay. Nothing like that. There's not anything there. There are a bunch of people here, and you're kind of observing, and you're kind of getting a feel for the room. Some of the people are starting to like not be like discreet about who they're kind of casting judgmental eyes on, and a lot of people are giving really dirty looks to Grizz and to the redheaded girl, but they're not being like obvious about it.
And then for my last trick, what's the biggest threat? And when I'm saying that, I'm talking about to this, to whatever it is that it seems like we've been called in for, just guessing that it's about these two. Like, what would be the biggest sort of threat to us getting out of here alive?
Ooh. You realize kind of a couple things off of this is that, one, not a lot of y'all are really versed in werewolf politics.
Hmm.
Or werewolf culture, or really anything that happens on kind of like the inside of a werewolf tribe. And that might have been pertinent information, but who knows? Y'all are maybe the only ones available, whatever. But as you're kind of thinking about that, you're like, well, there doesn't seem to be a lot of interacting here. And people are just really mad at two kids, and you're just kind of like, oh, it can't be that. It can't be that easy, right? And the more you're kind of observing, the more you feel like this little corner off in the group, like off in their own little corner, that little group of people is, no one's really looking at them or acknowledging them or including them in any conversations. They're just off on their own.
All right.
So, after a minute of y'all kind of observing things, the woman up at the front, November, she kind of pushes herself up and just slams the rest of her PBR and tosses the can over her shoulder and just goes, all right. And everyone calms down, quiets down, and looks at her. And she goes, this council is a waste of our damn time. And a waste of the time of these good people that the Green Friars sent us. But someone had to go make a fuss. And she just looks daggers at like the back over at the left side of the room. And she just kind of looks back over at everyone and just goes, all right, we got to do this. And she just kind of gestures to take in the whole room. So, Jeremy Hallett, get your ass up here. And she's just kind of like swaying a little bit. And she holds out a hand and this other woman just hands her a PBR. She just goes, thanks, babe. And cracks it and starts drinking it. And the redheaded guy from the opposite side of the room from Grizz, who had been standing next to Jessica, walks up and she just goes, all right, this is all you. And she points right at Owen and says, hey, she snaps. She's like, Traitor Knight Boy.
That's me.
Okay. And she sits back down. She's like, this is going to be a long night. You and your buddies, get your ass up here.
Of course. Heads up.
Are y'all all going up?
Yep.
Yeah, Helen will go with them.
November takes a big swig of her PBR and just goes, so y'all are the ones old blind Milo sent, huh?
Well, that's about the size of it, yeah. Both he and our guide didn't actually inform us what this was about, so.
Of course not. He didn't know, and she just, like, glares at Jeremy
And her guide didn't know yet either. Though everyone's about to.
Okay, glad we just weren't being kept in the dark there.
Well, the hell would I keep a moderator in the dark? She belches. Sorry, mediator in the dark.
That's fair.
So what exactly is going on? Why would you call a bunch of hunters?
And she just kind of like lurches kind of out of the chair and walks up to Helm and just looks at you. Like right in the eyes, getting right up close. And just like sniffs and just goes, "You're a Cardoza, ain't you?"
Helm sort of like sighs and definitely looks like away from Jeremy. In his direction is like, yes, I mean, distantly related, yes.
Shit, son! She smacks me on the shoulder, pretty hard. Well, it's been a moon since a Cardoza came out this way. Good to see you, boy. What are you doing with these shit bags? You hunting things?
Look, honestly, it's really nothing personal. We're not like, I'm not a hunter per se, but one of these kids is my student, or was a student, and then that's her stepmom or something, and the other one's a teacher. Look, we're just here to help you get done with this, you know what I mean? Nobody wants hunters on their land at all. Nobody.
Ah, damn right. You Cardozas know what's up. All right. And she's like, slogs back to her chair and just like flumps into it. Real quick, how does everyone react to Helm's descriptions of them?
I mean, when Helm called Laurie Ashley's stepmom, you just heard a, "Oh my god," from the back, but quietly for the sake of discretion.
I think Laurie just, like, nodded in approval, like, yes, sounds good.
Oh, God.
Owen knows exactly what Helm's whole thing is vis-a-vis Owen and him, so he is not surprised at all.
Very good. All right. So she just kind of flumps back in her chair and just looks at Jeremy and just goes, "All right, Hallett boy. This is on you." And he just kind of turns, "Yes, ma'am." And he just kind of looks down his feet, looks back over his shoulder to the girl he had been talking to, and then just kind of glances kind of a little bit further back, and only Helm really catches that he was looking right at the black-haired girl, Penny. And then he just kind of like squares his shoulders and gives himself a shake and just goes, "Right, I called this meeting because," and then it just kind of a rush, he says, "because the Lord boy has been making eyes at my sister." And the entire hall just explodes in yells. Hey everybody, Matt, your host and GM, jumping in here for our mid-episode intermission break. Real quick, we hope you're enjoying episode 3, Balconies in the Moonlight. We've got one more part to this story, and then we'll be on to episode 4. So, hope you're loving it, hope you're staying with us on this. You can find us on Twitter at LostLibraryCast, or on FifthDraw.com, where you can find the entire Fifth Draw family of podcasts. You can find us on Twitter, Google Play, Stitcher, Radio Public, Podknife, just kind of a whole bunch of good places out there. If there's somewhere we should be that we're not, please let us know, and we'll try to get there as soon as possible. While you're on one of those sites, if you can leave us a rating or review, that would help us out so much. Whatever black magic goes into making those algorithms, you know, ratings and reviews push shows
up in the order. And that helps out a lot when we're still pretty new. So if you do that, that'd be great. We'll do a rating and review segment down the road once we have several. And if you want to hear your stuff read out loud, that's a good way to do it. We want to thank Renee Rhodes, who provided the recap for this. You can find her and her podcast, Fate and the Fable Maidens, which you should definitely be listening to. We also want to thank some people who provided some names for characters this month. We had several that we used. There are a couple that I really liked that just didn't come up. Just what with one thing and another, this episode didn't quite go exactly how I thought it would, and I'm so excited by that. The cast, the characters, they really took it and ran with it, and it did some amazing things. You'll hear more of that next week. But the names that were suggested when we put out the call, Mike at Malvinity on Twitter suggested Finn Moorhound. Mike, I hope you don't mind that he turned into a really gross villain that makes me uncomfortable to play. Adam at 11Adam55 suggested Jack Howlett, who became, I guess, the patriarch of the Howlett clan or tribe of werewolves. Jessica, Jeremy, that whole group. And Cassidy at Mad Lobotanist suggested November Russell, the matriarch of our delightful werewolf tribal gathering, and someone who is probably going to become a really important character as this story of Port Avalon continues. So thank you, Cassidy. We also want to, once again, like we do every time, give you a high tide rec. We're sticking with Prism Pals. This show, when you're hearing this, they just dropped 3 episodes yesterday. 2 kind of background episodes and then their first proper episode. So go catch them. They are on Twitter at Prism Pals. They are, again, a family-friendly actual play D&D 5e podcast where 5 LGBTQ plus individuals tell a story about family, love, and friendship. So go jump on that right here at the start of their story. You won't be let down. That's all we have this week. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening, for sharing this show, and just for coming with us on this journey. We've got a lot of stuff coming down the line, and man, I'm happy that y'all are exploring Port Avalon with us. See y'all next week.
Hey Travis, I just started watching this new show.
Yeah? What you watching?
Oh, you know, it's like this thing where it's a bunch of magical girls all get transported to a fantasy world where it's an entirely patriarchal society of buff muscle men.
So that's a show, huh? That you're watching. That may literally be the dumbest thing I have ever heard. Want to talk about it?
Yeah, we can do that on our podcast, WTF Anime, the show where John and Travis sit down and watch dumb anime and then review it for a bit. It's as awful as it sounds.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Home for Wayward OCs. My name is Christina, and this is a podcast where, every second and fourth Monday of the month, a guest and I talk about our original characters, the good, the bad, and the self-inserts. So, if you're interested in hearing about different original characters people have made up, like a superhero created for a thesis project, an NPC who is destined to die but is still loved, or a blatant Pokemon self-insert on a mission, or if you like tangents about maple syrup and gender politics in media, you can find us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher, or on Twitter at WaywardOCPod, or through the WaywardOCPod hashtag. We hope to see you soon!
Oh, the Grizz boy was looking in the wrong place for romance, I guess?
I don't know. Sure kind of seems that way. That's certainly what Jeremy's implying.
Helm turns to Jeremy. Jeremy, it's been so long since we've last talked.
He just gets all stiff and looks at you and goes, Mr. Cardoza.
Yes, that. So, you're saying, or not accusing, just you're mentioning that you think Grizz was looking at your sister in an inappropriate manner.
He opens his mouth and then shuts his mouth and then opens it and goes, no, I... And he gets all, like, red in the face and just goes, oh, if they were doing that. No, they're, I saw them kissing the other night. And a man comes storming out from Grizz's side, like, blows past you guys and just, like, grabs Jeremy by the shirt collars and lifts him up and go like, boy, don't you dare insult my nephew that way.
How old is Jeremy?
Jeremy is... gonna be probably younger than you, probably just like a year or two out of high school.
Okay, and how old is this guy?
This guy is much older.
All right, well, at that, Helen is sort of gonna like, I guess he's grabbing him and lifting him up by his collar, right?
Yeah.
Helm is going to move in between, like he's going to duck under this older gentleman's arm say, look, I mean, we don't have all the information yet. You can't just, like, you know, beat the kid up. Children gossip. He might be confused. Let's get it all out in the open first, right?
And November up on her seat just like slaps her and goes, damn, this Cardoza's got a good head on his shoulders. Randy, put the boy down. And the man just kind of like slowly puts Jeremy back on his feet, lets go of his shirt. And he's just kind of snarling still a little bit. And he takes a couple steps back until he's like on his side of the line, more or less.
I relinquish my hold on my dagger that I have been holding in my pocket.
Well, we've heard from the accuser. Why don't... Okay. We'll just hear from whoever he's accusing, and that will actually give us some information rather than a werewolf yelling at everyone, and then werewolves yelling at them in turn.
When you say that, like, November just nails you with this look and just goes, traitor knight boy, you do know that you are in a werewolf hall right now, right?
I'm very aware. That's why I'm being as respectful as possible.
We yell a lot, boy. And, like, everyone else just kind of, like, yells in confirmation of that.
And you wonder why you need mediators.
No, we don't. Shit like this is confusing.
I'm so glad that you actually are physically aware of what's going on.
Hell, I hate being the boss during the months we gotta do it.
So that means this Jeremy kid knew exactly what was going to happen and has made this accusation. Have I got that?
I suppose. I mean... he would know that a council would have to be called for a fraternizing amongst the tribes in a non-negotiated way.
Then the issue here is that they potentially, if they did fraternize, that they fraternized outside of any typical tribal bonds. There was no established contract involved.
Hell, you're a Cardoza. You know just how important family is. We got ourselves a complicated history, werewolves do. There's some niceties, some people call them. Some of the young folk believe they're outdated, but we know stuff, you know? Things have happened in the past. People get all mad and butthurt about bloodline and whatnot. Now, some of us know that's garbage, but best way to keep the peace has been, if you're interested in joining a different tribe, you take it up with your tribal leaders and a deal's made. Young folk can't just be making these decisions when they're all, shit, all pheromonal and whatnot.
So there's never been a case where two werewolves from different tribes have eloped?
Her eyes get real hard and she just goes, not in this town.
What has happened when those two have eloped?
And there's just some like loud rustling, and from the back of the hall, there's a voice that just goes, Oh, it happens out east, you know. And that greasy-haired guy that approached Owen in the parking lot comes swaggering up the aisle between all the different groups and just, like, goes in a lazy circle walking around all of y'all. Just goes, out east, you know, where our kind's a bit more liberal. They do whatever they wanted to for a few years there. Until one of those damn kids got caught rutting with some mortal girl. And entire tribes were murdered. And their hides collected.
Okay.
And November just like throws her empty can at this guy. And like nails him in the head. She goes, that's a damn lie and you know it, Finn Moorhound.
Your name is Finn Moorhound?
You got a problem with that, pretty boy?
No, not really.
And this guy is just like glaring at you, and he walks right up to you and just takes a long sniff and just goes, I got your smell now, boy. Better be careful.
First off, the scent is Prada, so I hope you are glad dealing with something that's expensive. And second off, go away. We're doing a council, not a machoistic festival or whatever the hell it is you want to do.
It looks like that first comment just goes right over his head.
oh, God.
And the second comment, he just kind of like, is not used to someone reacting like that, and just kind of like takes a step and just fucking sissy boy, and he just starts swaggering to the back of the room.
Owen cuts like a look over to Hallam in just kind of a, is everything okay?
Hallam sort of shoots him back a glance that would communicate, yeah, I'm okay. But then he like, at this point, he just actually opens his mouth and goes like, anybody else think that was, like, weird? Like, he says it as sort of stage whisper, but he's sort of like, this is...
Well, yeah, apparently dumb bastards get to live anywhere.
November just stands up off of her little chair and she goes, that was damn weird. All right. All y'all take a break. All y'all take a break. My husband's got barbecue going. My girlfriend's going to take y'all out there and get y'all food. You four. And you, Howlett. And the other two. Where's Grizz at? And Jessica. And they both kind of, like, their families do that kind of, like, big family thing where when someone's in trouble, like, the crowd just kind of osmoses them to the front. And November just, like, points fingers, so there are like seven fingers being pointed at different people, and just goes, y'all coming with me out back. I ain't gonna talk about this in front of everyone and God. And as all the werewolves kind of file out of the building one way, she leads y'all out back the other way.
Owen says probably far too loud because he's already pissed off at the amount of werewolves at this point. You know, good. Just for future reference, the way you're doing this now is a far easier way of getting shit done.
Hell, I know it. Gotta obey the council rules. And she just turns and looks at y'all after y'all have walked a little ways, and she goes, look, it'd be a lot easier if kids could just do what kids do. Shit, they're teens. You got one here with you. And she just looks at Ashley and goes, you probably done dumb stuff with a boy?
Depends on what your definition of dumb is.
I would dearly love to know how Lori is reacting to that particular revelation.
I think her face is, like, absolutely straight. Like, she wants to know more, but she's like, I'm not going to embarrass her. I'm not going to ask. When we're closer friends, when we go out for pedicures, then I'll ask her.
What sort of stupid stuff have you done with a boy?
Who are you asking that to?
Yeah, who was that directed at?
He's asking that to Ashley.
Oh, good.
I mean, we have forked the football team's lawns after homecoming.
And November literally face palms and just goes, okay, well, look, it'd be a lot easier if we could do stuff that wasn't all governed by the family, but werewolves ain't allowed to just be normal folk. Still, a lot of people get their panties in a bunch if they find out they're people who can turn into giant wolves. It's not a inappropriate fear. Predator-prey relationships and all that. There's a dynamic at play in the genes that might have something to do with it. I don't know. I don't really worry about it. But what I do know is that all of us, and she includes, like, herself and Jeremy and Jessica and Grizz, all of us got to be more careful. And she looks at Owen and says, you get it. You got a power on ya. She's implying that she can, like, smell your magic.
Okay. Yeah. Owen just kind of nods.
So, we gotta be careful, and the way that werewolves figured out how to be best careful, we're really, really tight families. We don't mess around with other families. We don't mess around with mortals. Though, if someone takes a shine to a mortal, that's fine. They can do whatever they want as long as they don't bite them. Some people find that more difficult than others. And she grins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Helen shoots a big glare at Jeremy.
Oh boy.
But, by and large, it works out. We talk, we sort things out. And she just looks at, like, she points at Grizz and Jessica, and it's like, points at them, and then points right in front of her and goes, you two, front and center. And they both kind of sheepishly walk up. And she just goes, look at each other right in the eye. And they have a really hard time doing it. And both of them are blushing. And she just shakes her head and just goes, damn it, kids. All right, you four were called out here to be mediators. Don't know why Jeremy got his panties in such a twist over this. But apparently he did. So you four get to mediate in here.
Excuse me, ma'am. Ashley, I raise my hand like I am back in class.
One that doesn't know how to mess around with a boy, right? Yes.
I hate to be, I don't want to be, like, ma'am, are you familiar with Romeo and Juliet?
Been a while since I read much Shakespeare, but go ahead.
In the play, there is what I would argue is could be compared as kind of the same thing happens in Romeo and Juliet as is happening here. And in the play, it ended with a lot of people dying over two young people wanting to be together. And I know from experience that families are difficult, and I know the families are difficult, and you said that you guys have a lot of rules and long-standing traditions, so I'm not sure how this could necessarily be worked within the rules, but is there any kind of, like, a how strict are these rules? Are there, like, loopholes that could be done? Is there any way to resolve this without giving more agency to Grizz and Jessica, and not necessarily, you know, ending in what I think his name was Morehound. What he was saying about lots of people dying. I don't want to have anyone die here today if it can be helped, and I'm sure that you do too.
November just kind of grins at you and just goes, oh, you're real close, girly. You're almost asking the right question there. Gotta get a little bit closer, though. And she looks at, like, she gives a significant glance to Grizz and Jessica. And the questions, the right questions, gotta come from the right people. But you're real close, girl.
And well, thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. And she just like pushes through everybody and comes right up to you and just like puts an arm around your shoulder and just goes, if you want to ask me some other questions later on about how to properly have some fun times with a boy, you let me know. And then she walks back up to the front. And Jeremy just like looks at this entire exchange and just goes, no sister of mine is gonna do anything with one of those flea-bitten lords. We're not having no red in our family.
Then why did you accuse him of it?
But
if it wouldn't happen to your sister.
I'm not... It did happen. She's an idiot. She knows... We're not welcoming him into our tribe. We're not sending her to his.
So then a quick question. What would be the typical punishment for everybody involved, including Jeremy?
You're asking November?
Yeah.
She just goes, well, Jeremy wouldn't really be punished at all.
Really?
In the eyes of the council, he's technically doing the right thing. He's being a little shit about it.
Ignoring the eyes of the council idea, this is family we're talking about. After all the family we just mentioned, him tattletaling immediately on his sister for doing something that we all know is mostly inconsequential. I think if anybody is to be punished, it should be all three of them.
Cardoza. Cardoza, my boy, you get that in the eyes of a family like this, a family that you should be, a family structure you should be familiar with, that if they're going to break a easy rule, they might break a hard rule.
Of course.
So, of course, you want to call them out for breaking something like this so that they can be disciplined and corrected so they don't break a big important rule later on in a fit of passion. I will acknowledge that Jeremy's being a little shit about things, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, if we're just punishing these two, what would be the punishment if they were found guilty, which they both technically are?
November just kind of looks a little crestfallen and looks at Grizz and Jessica and says, well, you gonna tell them what you already know? And Jessica just kind of blanches and turns her head away from everybody, and Grizz just kind of shuffles his feet a little bit and just goes, one of our families would have to leave.
Wait, like leave the area permanently?
Yeah.
You two are idiots then.
Grizz just looks at it and goes, what, you never liked somebody? Never? And he just like blushes, never loved somebody?
Oh, shit.
Callum blushes back, but he also is like, I think you misunderstand. Loving someone is not making them put their whole family at risk so that you two can get it on, for instance. Does that make sense?
He just kind of looks down and looks back up, and he's got like, there's a certain kind of fire that can get in the eyes of a teenager in the midst of his first love. And he just looks at you with it and just goes, they're stupid rules. We just want to be together. We're not breaking it. We're not doing anything wrong. And he looks at November. We're not doing anything wrong. Are we?
I don't think you are. I think you kids are a very cute couple. And I think everyone around here I've been listening is taking this thing way too seriously. You can accept each other's differences. I built my house with cedar. My son, his wife's family built hers with teak. And I learned to accept them. We're good friends. And you can bond with each other. It doesn't, you don't have to cast anybody out because of your differences or your similarities. I'll tell you a story. I made sure that me and the other mother at the wedding would have different dresses, but I forgot to ask the mother's sister, and me and the aunt have the same dress on. And I could have fought her about it, but you know what I did? I just went back to my truck and I put my flannel on, and I had a great wedding. Everybody did. We learned to deal with it. You need to put everybody. You need to all put your metaphorical flannels on over your mother of the bride dresses.
Helen is shooting the biggest of looks to Owen, like, are you for fucking real here?
Ashley is proud in spite of herself.
Owen makes like a motion like he's pushing something down, like, hold it down. Let's see how this goes.
November is just like smiling super big and is like, you can tell she's like fighting to not just like clap real hard. And it's kind of reaching like Grizz and Jessica are both just kind of like smiling at each other and at you, Lori. Jeremy is off to one side, just like shaking. And from behind you, there's another voice. Oh, what a lovely story. Yeah, that was a good story. And the two black-haired kids, Penny and Finn, come strolling in with three transformed werewolves behind them. All five wearing dog collars. And that's where we're calling episode 2.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter @LostLibraryCast.